Our reading this evening is from John chapter 21, starting at verse 15. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus had asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus answered, "If I wanted him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." Because of this, the rumor spread amongst the believers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written.
You know, when we were singing then, right? Because you stand here, you can see, isn't it? So I could see loads of people, because brilliant singing, like full on chuffed, right? But you know, in a crowd this big, and with so many people who aren't in the room, like more people watching somewhere else, you know, in this number of people, there's going to be some people who are going, "Yeah, I'm glad you can sing, but I tell you what, here's the thing about me. I can't believe for one minute that I deserve Christ's love. If I had to stand up here and tell you what I've been like in the last year, 2 years, 3 weeks, 4 months, all the best. And forget if you think that I could be any use to God at all, me, you've got no chance, because I'm hopeless." Right, I'm going to introduce you to somebody tonight, right at the end of this book of John, John's account of the life of Jesus. You think you're a flop, watch this lad. As my mum would have said, more shape on a straight line than this boy. His name's Peter. Come and have a look at Peter's mess with me. I'll tell you where it is. Just hold fire, hold your Bible where it is for now. Let me walk you through Peter's mess. Right at the beginning of John's gospel, Peter meets Jesus for the very first time, right the opposite end of the book that we've just read from. And his brother, Andrew, meets Jesus. And his brother takes Simon Peter to Jesus. And when Jesus sees him for the first time, listen closely to what Jesus says. It was really important, right? He says to Peter, first time, looks him in the eye, he says, "How are you, Simon? Very nice to meet you." He doesn't say that, but you can imagine. "Very nice to meet you. Simon, I'm going to change your name. I'm going to change your name to Peter, Simon." No, stick with this because it makes sense of the rest of the time. Simon means The one who hears the word of God, you kind of hear it, but you're not necessarily going to do anything with it. And he says, yeah, you're a bit flaky, Simon, a bit shaky. And he says, I've changed your name, though, to Peter, which means rock, rock. So Jesus says, hello, nice to meet you, flaky. I'm going to make you rocky. Right? Right? Hold on to that because you'll need it later. Flaky, rocky. All right. All right. Here's Simon at his best. Here's rocky, not flaky. Just before Jesus goes to the cross in the 13th chapter of John, Jesus says to his friends, guys, I'm going somewhere. You can't come. Peter, he's like this. Here he is, rocky. Lord, why can't we follow you? I will lay down my life for you. Jesus says, really? Really? You know, by tomorrow morning, dawn, you'll have denied me 3 times. Confident, isn't he, Peter? Jesus says, are you sure? Here's another account, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26, very explicitly. Peter, all the mates are there, right? They're all there the night before they kill Jesus. And he says this, even if all this lot fall away, I never will. He's so cocky. I never will. In Matthew's account, it says this. Jesus said to him, by dawn, Peter, same drill, by dawn tomorrow, dear, you'll have bottled it 3 times. Jesus didn't say bottled it, but you know what I mean in modern language, don't you? 3 times. And then Peter comes back at him. What a cheek. Matthew 26, 35. Then Peter comes back at him and Peter says, no. Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. All right, Pete. Good lad. You're rocky, aren't you? Ooh. 2 hours later. 2 hours, maybe two, maybe less. Jesus has been arrested. He's been taken to be tried. 2 boys, John and Peter, have got the guts to creep around to outside the courtroom. It's nighttime. There's a fire. Watch what happens next. Peter's there. Somebody says, oi, aren't you one of Jesus' boys? You know what's coming, don't you? No. Then a few minutes later, somebody goes, oi, oi, you, with a northern accent. It's like a Welshman in England. Oi, you, with a northern accent. Oi, you, aren't you one of his lot? No. And then a third person comes up and says, oi, you cut off my mate's ear with a sword just now. I saw you. You're one of Jesus' lot. And Peter goes, I am not. I know what he heard then because it was dawn. A cock crowing. And Jesus had told him not long before, listen, big time Charlie, you're so cocky, aren't you? You really think you can do it on your own, don't you, boy? No, you can't. Now, that means when we're in John chapter 21, which is where we've been all week in the evenings, if you missed last night, here's what happens. Jesus has beaten death. Peter's gone back fishing, his old job, right? He's blown it. He's screwed it up. It's a mess. But Jesus is alive. Oh, my gosh. What if he comes across Jesus? Next thing, Jesus shows up on the beach and says, all right, you lot, how are you, Peter, James, John? How's it going? I've got some fish for you. Got a fire going. Get yourselves in. I got the fish. Don't worry about that. I got the breakfast. Here we go. Let's have some breakfast. Now, can you imagine Peter at this breakfast? What would you be like? What would you be like now? Right, you're going, ooh. None of your mates like you because you slaughter them. They'll never do it. I will. Jesus hasn't quite approached you yet to discuss this. but he's invited you for breakfast and he's kind to you. You know what this is like, don't you? You've fallen out with somebody and you're not quite sure when it's going to get mended, isn't it? Who goes first? And once they finish breakfast, Jesus taps Peter on the shoulder. He says, "Have you got a minute, Pete?" And Peter goes, "Oh, I've been desperate for this moment, but at the same time, I'm absolutely mortified that I've got to talk to him." So that's what we're talking about tonight. Watch what happens to Peter. If you've got your Bible, I know it's quite dark. Have a look at it. I'm going to take you through the story. Here's the first thing that happens. Peter gets restored. Now, remember I said he was called shaky and rocky? I'm going to read you what happens in verses 15 to 17 when Jesus restores Peter. Peter, have you got a moment? Boy, have you got a sec? Yes. All right. He says, "Good, Peter, I'll read it to you." They finished eating. Jesus says to him, "Simon Peter," he calls him. Shaky Rocky. Shaky Rocky. Which way is he going? He's never called him Simon for 3 years. The first time he met him, he said, "Hiya, Simon, you're going to be Peter." And for the first time in 3 years, he goes, "Hello, Simon, how's it going?" Now, you know what he's saying, don't you? "Hiya, shaky." Oh, not so good now, are we? But he also calls him Rocky. Shaky Rocky. Shaky, do you love me? Right, that's what he said. Shaky, do you love me? "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs then." And then Jesus does it again. How many times did Peter betray him? Watch Jesus now. You know what's coming, don't you? "Do you love me?" Yeah. Again, Jesus said, do you love me, Peter? You know where it's going. "Yes, Lord. You know I love you." Or can you see his voice and his face in this? How can he prove he loves Jesus after he's been such a shambles? Right? Ever felt like this? "Oh, my word, I've blown it so badly. How could he possibly have anything to do with me today? Do you love me?" "Yes." And then the third time he says, "Simon," shaky, "do you love me?" And it says, "Rocky," Peter, Rocky was hurt. He was hurt because Jesus asked him a third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know I love you." It's like a plea. "Lord, what do you want me to say? I betrayed you 3 times. I've got nothing to offer as proof that I love you. I've got no hubris. I've got no pride, Lord. All I can bank on is your kindness, and you know me, Jesus. Jesus, you know I loved you. I've just made such a shift of it all." That's what happens here. It's really sad. But Peter is humble and gentle, and all he can do is plead on Jesus' love and say, "You do know me better than anyone, Lord. I've made a mess of it." You know deep down, after the shambles I've just created, that I love you. This talk is called The Normal Christian Life. I reckon this is quite close, don't you, to the normal Christian life? Old shaky Daniels, that's me. But then sometimes rocky. Isn't it funny? If it depended on your ability and strength and morality and effort and goodness to be rocky, there'd be no one in the room tonight, would there? No, he loves us. He loves us. All right, so Peter has the tough chat. You know, can we have a word? Let's see those again. Peter's accepted by Jesus. Let's read those verses again and see something different. Not only has Jesus restored him, but he gives him a job back. Watch this. When they'd finished eating, the same verses, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? I.e., you've always said you love me more than the others. He is still saying that? He's not saying that anymore. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Jesus, the good shepherd, right? Peter, feed my lambs, will you? Got a job for you. Peter must be reeling. He's going, oh, ouch. He's going, he started talking to me. He's tested me on the three denials and asked me if I love him. What's he talking about, feed my lambs? He's the good shepherd. What's he doing? What's he doing? I can't work for Jesus. I'm no good to Jesus, even if he accepts me back after my mess. I mean, seriously, why would he ask me? Why would he give me a job? Me? I'm no use. And then the second time, do you love me? You know I love you. Hey, Pete, take care of my sheep, will you? No. Not me. I don't deserve that after the way I've lived. Once more, Peter, do you love me? You know I love you. I'm just, what can I say? Peter, feed my sheep. Three times he asks him, do you love me? Three times he says, I've got a new job for you. Come on, dear, I've got a new job for you. You're back. You're back. I'm recommissioning you. Is that a surprise? My gosh. Peter, you're an absolute mess. You pretend to be rocky and you're shaky. You brag to everybody that you're the best follower that I've got, and you're weaker than all of them. You're all talk with a fast mouth and absolutely wobbly when it comes to the crunch. But do you love me, son? You know I love you. Come on then. Let's get to work. Let's get started. I've got a job for you. You can do it, can't you, Peter, if I'm with you? And Peter is given his job back. Ladies and gentlemen, Peter is back in the race. He's back in business. He's got something to get up for tomorrow morning. He's not just going back to the old ways fishing because he can't think of anything better. And he's got to busy himself because Jesus won't want him, obviously. Can I ask you this evening, in those moments, you may be in them tonight, you'll be in them sometime. Nobody may well know at all about it. But you have overpromised your ability to follow Jesus and it crashes. Sometimes lots of people know, sometimes a few, sometimes nobody knows. But in that very moment, in the Christian life, in the normal Christian life, what does the follower of Jesus do? And if you're listening to this and you don't follow Jesus, but you're listening in and watching, or you have to be here because you were made to come some way or another, didn't look forceful, but you were, and you're thinking, oh, it's not for me. What does it look like tonight to walk out of this tent if you're here, or to turn the telly off if you're not, and say, actually, on this Friday night, Jesus does love me. Yeah, me, not her, like me. And he's got a lane for me to run in life. He's got stuff for me to do. Oh, my word. How great is that? My dream is that we can walk out of the room tonight saying yes to both those. And we ask the Lord Jesus, don't we, to be kind to all of us involved in this room, because there's one person talking, but we're all thinking and listening. Well, not necessarily to what I'm saying, but you're thinking and doing something. And the Lord is kind, and he might show you something here that is spot on for you and wouldn't be any relevance to the person next to you, isn't it? So there he is. Peter has been restored when he deserves nothing and he's been given their job when he thought he was past it and no use. The wonder of the Christian life is that women and men like you and me are rescued like this by Jesus day after day, week after week, year after year, and find ourselves saying, thank you. Thank you. Let's go again, Lord. Thank you. And then Jesus gives Peter a purpose for the future in verses 18 to 19. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself, says Jesus, and went where you wanted. In other words, Peter, you know, before this, before you worked out that you're not quite as top man as you thought you were, do you know, before you were humbled and realized that it's my love that saves you, not your own ability? Peter, you know, when you thought you could conquer the world in my name and do me a favor because I was lucky to have you, and now that I've shown you, no, you're the one who needs me, and you've given me, you know, Pete, when you were young, you thought you were king of the world. You know now, don't you? I'm the king of the world. And I love you, but you're not the king of the world, Pete. You need me, don't you? Yes, I do, Lord. And then Jesus says to him, and he uses a phrase that would have been used at the time to talk about crucifixion. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and somebody will dress you and lead you where you don't want to go. That was crucifixion. And indeed, John says to us in 19, Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify him. He says, Peter, you're back in business. There's a job to do. I want you to lead my church. I want you to look after the young ones, the lambs. I want you to build a team of people who look after the lambs and the mature sheep. I want you to care for the people of God. They're my church. I'll build the church. You're the under shepherd. And now if you were to read 1 Peter, the letter, for example, you'd read how Peter, years later, realizes what it's like to be a shepherd of the great shepherd as he learns these lessons. Peter is going to die on a cross. And then Jesus, I don't know if you heard that little phrase. Then Jesus said to him, follow me. And as Jesus said to him, you will die on a cross, Peter, but you'll do a great job. And he said, now follow me, son. Now we're coming to the end of this talk. Watch this. Peter would immediately have remembered the first time he met Jesus. One of the very first times he met Jesus, Jesus said to him when he was fishing, Peter, come and follow me and I will make you fish for people. First meeting. Hiya, Peter. Nice to meet you. Rock, you're quite rocky. Hey, listen, here's the thing. Here's what I'm thinking. I'm going to make you somebody who reaches many, many people. I'll make you a fisher of people. What do you think? So when he said to Peter, come on then, Peter, you're back in. Follow me. Follow me. Am I going to be a fisher of people again? Yes. Yes, you are. Listen, man, you're back. I told you, you're back. It's over. The shambles is over. I've forgiven you. I love you. You're my boy. You're my girl now. Now, come on, Pete, get in your lane. You know what you're good at. Follow me. Again, we're off. He's going to be a fisher of people and a feeder of sheep. What a job, isn't it? Oh, boy. He'd made such a mess of his life. Please, please. If you're in a good mood tonight, excellent. Don't be too cocky, though, isn't it? You know what I mean, don't you? It's not about your own strength ever, is it? And if you're anywhere on this, if you're anywhere on the scale from cocky to really fed up, oh, why do we come to Keswick like this? To remember that we deserve nothing and he's given us everything. That when nobody's thinking about you in the world at 3 o'clock in the morning when you wake up and you don't know what to do And nobody could possibly care about your anxiety or worry or failure. You need to wake up next time and say, I know somebody who does. Because he's there right now. And I am the apple of his eye. And he loves me. And no matter how poor my mistakes have been or misjudgment or what's coming my way or how sick I am or how frightened I am, there is no doubt that the one who loves me unconditionally is always for me. And I can be useful to him. Oh, the privilege of being a Christian in a world where everybody has to find meaning inside by proving themselves. And you can say, I don't have to prove anything. Because my Savior loves me. And he can use me. Peter will die on a cross. And the early church fathers, two of the writers in the early parts of Christianity, Tertullian and Eusebius, 2nd and 3rd centuries BC, both affirm that he died on a cross in Rome under the reign of Nero in 64 AD. And the story goes that he didn't want to be crucified the right way up. He wanted to be upside down because his Lord Jesus was the right side up. The big mouth bottler glorified God in his death because this big mouth bottler had enough strength in Christ that when the crunch came the second time round, he took it. He took it because his Savior was with him and he was able in the strength of Christ to cope with adversity as the servant of Jesus. So there we are. It should end there. But if it ended there, it would make Peter look too good. Tell you why, right? Because if it ended there, we might say, whoa, that's it, see? If you're a Christian, you might make a mistake, but after that, you're invincible. And once Jesus sorts you out once, you'll be invincible. We're meant to see that he's such an idiot, this bloke. I mean, he's such an idiot. Watch the last, this is the last paragraph of John's gospel. It should not end here on one level. Here's how it ends. So Peter's sorted. He's back in business. He's alive. He's on it. He's going for it. He's buzzing. And then this happens. Follow me then, Peter. Are we on? We're on, Lord. Let's go. And then Peter, verse 20, turned round like this, right? Turns round. And sees the disciple who Jesus loved following them. This is John, the author of the gospel. Peter's like this. Come on, I'm back. Jesus loves me. I've got a job to do. And he, come on then, let's go. And he turns around and John's there. This is how the book ends. And Peter says to Jesus, what about him? He does. And we're meant to see that we'll be flawed until we get to heaven. Right? We're meant to see it. What about him? Now, Jesus isn't nice. Peter clearly isn't saying, no, I hope he's not going to be crucified too. No. He's not having John. Because John is called the disciple who Jesus loved. At the Last Supper, when Peter needs to speak to Jesus to find out who's going to betray Jesus, when Jesus says, someone's going to betray me, he has to say to John, ask him who's going to do it. Why? Because John's closer to Jesus than him. See? When they run to the tomb, when they hear it's empty and Mary tells them it's empty, they run to the tomb, right? John beats Peter to the tomb. Not only does Jesus seem to like him more, but he's faster than Peter. Now, he's not as tough as Peter, because when they get to the tomb, John's scared to go in and Peter dives in. But that's typical Peter, see? And then in last night's talk, who's the first to spot that it's Jesus in the boat? Who's the first to go, it's Jesus? John, he's cleverer than Peter. See, he's quicker than Peter. I mean, he's got everything going for him, John, by the way, hasn't he? Very likable, brilliant athlete, right? Very astute. If you think about it, he's only missing one thing on that list. Don't you see it? He's not Welsh. That's a shame, because no, if he was, it'd have been quids in, wouldn't he? I know you weren't expecting that. I know you weren't expecting that. I know you were. No, Jesus is an affirmative. Jesus says to Peter, Peter, mind your business, will you? What about him? And here's the last line of their conversation. Jesus answered, if you want him to remain alive until I return, if I want him to remain alive until I return, says Jesus, what's that to you? Wind your neck in. Mind your business. That's what he's saying to him. See, because he's jealous of him. Oh, my word. We're so fallible, aren't we? Jesus says, I know you've made a mess of it last week, but I love you. Right, we're back in business. Come on. Let's get on with it. I've got plenty to do for you. Get on with your life. I'm with you all the way now. Come on, are you good? I'm good. Yeah, but what about her? I don't like her. How thick are we? What about him? That's what he does, Peter. What about him? And there's another side to the what about him as well. You see, John is super. Peter's hot-headed, dives in, takes a risk, doesn't think about it. We read what he's like here. Different personality, John. Measured, thoughtful, sort of Oxbridge. You know what I mean? Probably speaks posh. That kind of thing. Brilliant author, as we know. Wrote brilliantly. So, some commentators say, I wonder if Peter wasn't just going jealous, but also going inadequate. Listen, if you take me with you, if he comes as well, he's miles better than me. Seriously, what use am I in my church? Oh, come on. Look now, there's all sorts of people in my church. Are you really serious that I've got anything to offer? Oh, this is a crippling thing. And yet so many of us, isn't it, feel it, isn't it? Isn't it? What can I offer compared to John? Some people say that's what's going on here. And you know the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, listen, don't be stupid. You know what the eyes say? It doesn't need a foot. I mean, because generally wherever I go, my body comes. And it's quite useful that my eyes got a toe with it. Oh, you know what I mean? It would be quite tricky, wouldn't it, if you move around the place and your body's not there. So the body of Christ is made up of all sorts of parts. That's a silly picture, isn't it? Because it wouldn't make sense. But the body has many parts, doesn't it? We have different parts. And they're all something to play in the church. So if we say, what about him? Either jealously, what about her? Or, what about her? She's so much better than me. I'd be no good. Out of self-pity, Jesus isn't having it. He says, no, stop that straight away. If I want him to remain alive until I come back, boyo, well, shidium, if I want to do that, I'll do it. You mind your business. And here's the funny thing. John has to actually Peter makes a mess again, obviously, because for John to write his gospel, he actually has to say in the penultimate line of his gospel this: because of this, the rumor spread among the believers that this disciple, i.e. the writer John, would not die. But Jesus didn't say that he wouldn't die. He said, if I want him to remain alive until I come back, that's up to me. So John's saying, Jesus never said I wasn't going to die. And he writes it down. And then to prove he's written it down, in verse 24, he says, this is the disciple who testifies to these things and wrote them down. He says, I'm an eyewitness. I know there's a rumor that John was going to never die. It's not true because I'm writing it and I was there. Peter's an idiot, sort of. It's like he says it twice. This is the disciple who testifies to these things, one, and who wrote them down, two, and we know that his testimony is true. Listen, I'm bright, I'm sensible, I've got a big mouth, Peter has. It was a stupid thing to say. He was wrong. And Jesus was just putting him straight. And then, we're done right. Watch this last line. I'll read it to you, and then I'll walk you out to the story. This is the last line of John's account. Jesus did many other things as well. Last line of his account of the life of Jesus. Picture him. He was there himself in person. He saw everything Jesus did. He'd seen after the resurrection. He'd seen the church grow. He'd seen the risen Jesus. He'd seen the whole nine yards. And somewhere near the end of his life, he goes, I better write this down because God's told me to write it down. And they need to hear it in Keswick in 2024. Write it down. And the last line he writes is this. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. He's edited the stories, right, for you and me. That's why we read the New Testament. That's why we read the Bible. The story's finished. Now, here's the cameraman, the producer, and he says, camera out, pan the beach. Pan the 153 fish. Well, it's down to 50 because they've had a big breakfast. Pan the beach. Pan the boats. Pan the vista. Close film, close film, close film. Hone in, Peter. Three figures, Peter. Once, you know the kind of person, don't you? You might be this kind of person, full of it. Let me at them. Jesus is lucky to have me. Come on. What's wrong with you weak ones? What's wrong with you? Come on, you should all be like me. And then his hubris is broken. And he realizes he's vulnerable and weak. And he can't do it without Christ. And he needs the Lord Jesus. And here's Peter on the beach, humbled. You know, I love you. Oh, Lord, thank you so much. I want to be in my lane now. I want to serve you. Peter, camera moves to John. Thoughtful. Another type of personality, isn't it? Thoughtful, reflective. Says the fewest possible number of words required in any conversation. Listens, doesn't talk. Collects the information, reflects. Slow to make decisions, but when she does, it's solid. Thank you, John. Thanks, Pete. And the last shot of our film is the massive figure of Jesus Christ. There he is, in shot. We could never capture him, says the author. We'd never capture all he's done. How long would it take to write the story of every woman and man in this room tonight? Isn't it? It would take forever to write all our stories. And we're a few thousand. Oh, you'll never capture all the stories of Christ. Although one person knows them all off by heart. Inside out, and he doesn't need a filing cabinet. The Lord Jesus Christ himself. The massive figure of Christ. Our Savior, our friend, our Lord, our carer, our lover, our mentor, who loves you more than is imaginable. He is the one who walks out of here with you tonight. He goes with you. Yeah, you can be here 1 week out of 52 if you're here. If you're in this room tonight, 1 week in 52. Here's what I wonder tonight. Is this a chance to say, I know he loves me. I know I've messed it up, but he always comes for me. I know where I live. I know who my family are. I know who my friends or college or neighbors are. What's my lane again? It's not sophisticated. That's your lane, isn't it? Your kids are your lane. Your partner's your lane. Your neighbors are your lane. Your family, that's where you live. So why wouldn't I walk out of here today and say, look, I'm not in her lane, I'm in my lane. I'm going back to Cambridge, yeah? I live in my flat in Riverside in Cambridge. That's where I live. Very small. All my neighbors and my family and my friends are nearby, mostly. Where's Jesus going to use me then? It's not special. I'm not better than you, you than me. Let's just go. That's your lane. Get out of Keswick and enjoy your lane, all the highs and the lows. Because there's a job to do. Can you look down the lane now? Go on, do it in your own head. What's the next 3 weeks hold, the next month, the next 6 months? Can you see it? Pain for some. Joy for others. Sickness for some. Potential death for some. New start in life for some. New hope for some. What's your lane? What's in front of your eyes? What friends are in front of your eyes? Now, what family? When we walk out of here, that's where we're going. With Jesus. On we go. On we go. So I think there are two things we end with. If you came in here tonight thinking, I don't deserve his love, you're spot on, very bright. You've got it. You've absolutely got it. You don't deserve a thing, you've got it all. Two, I couldn't be any good to him. Stop it. What about her? Get in your lane. Know it's your lane. Know he knew it from the beginning of time. It was your lane. He knows when you live and when you die. He knows all the highs and all the lows. And he's going to be there and he's with you. Go on. Go run. Go run. You've got a job to do. You don't just meet Jesus to say, well, it's all, oh, I'm all right. No, 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 no. He still likes me. No, no. He likes you. And he says, come on then, let's do it. Let's do it. Should we do it? Let's do it. So I think what might be a good thing to do, if you're able to, should we stand? And I'll pray on our behalf that we might run with him in our lane. And then we'll sing together. Class, isn't it? Look at us. Look at us. Oh, look around. Don't look at me. That's a shocker. Look, 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 look. Oh, fantastic. So we pray. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you that you forgive every one of us in our failing. Thousands of times in our lives if we've been a Christian a long time. And you'll never stop forgiving. Because you paid the penalty at Calvary. Thank you. And thanks that there isn't a woman or a man, a girl or a boy in this room tonight who hasn't got a lane that you're going to run in with them. Their own lane, not their next door neighbor's lane. May what we grasp tonight as we sing ourselves out, may we grasp that you put us there. And it's me you're going to use there by your strength. And we have a privilege and a hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Good. Now we'll sing. Shall we sing? Sing your lane out. Let's do it.